It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is VSiN Tonight with veteran handicappers Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Great to be back at the largest sports book in the world, at the world's number one sports betting network, with the world's most prolific sports handicapper, Wes Reynolds. Pause. I was reading that off the teleprompter like Joe Biden.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Wes, how was it with me away for about a week? Did you have a good time?
We managed to hold down the fort, Matt. Thank you to Ben Wilson and Dave Ross for stepping in last week. So I know you're rested, tanned, and ready to go for the NFL draft tomorrow.
I'm fired up for the NFL draft. It was great to be on with Stormy Bonantoni and Michael Lombardi today. A little tease about the draft coverage tomorrow night. It's going to be a marathon show. Tim Murray's going to be part of it as well. And looking forward to it. The draft's one of my favorite events every year, and I've got more than 20 bets on this draft, so it's going to be an eventful night no matter what. Hopefully, you say for better or for worse, hopefully it's for better tomorrow night. Aaron Moore, VSiN contributor and sports media professor, is going to be on the show in the second hour tonight to talk about his draft bets, and we're going to assess the prop betting market that's been out there from coast to coast on this NFL draft. And how about Adam Hill of the Las Vegas Review-Journal? He joins us in the final hour to talk about what the Raiders might do and his perspective and his mock draft and his best bets as someone who's an NFL beat writer and has sources around the league. Adam Hill, I believe, is joining us tonight from Dallas. Is that right?
I believe so. Covering the Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars that are in progress here in the second period, all tied at one.
Yeah, Adam is a guy who wears many hats at the newspaper, covers UFC, Golden Knights, Raiders, UNLV. Tonight, he's in Dallas for the hockey game, I believe, and he's going to be working on the NFL draft tomorrow. So Aaron Moore, Adam Hill on the show tonight, and then we got the draft extravaganza on Thursday night. Wes Reynolds, how about the Boston Celtics? They get shot down tonight by the Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat, 111-101. How does this happen? How are you a 14.5 point home favorite and you lose by 10 when the star player for the other team doesn't even hit the court? Jimmy Butler out tonight, but the Heat tie the series at 1 with a 10-point win in Boston.
How does it happen? One team gets their franchise playoff record from threes. 23 made threes for the Miami Heat tonight. And, you know, this looked like a sweep, Matt, but it's like I thought, okay, maybe Miami's going to get one because of shooting variance. We know the Celtics took 49 threes and then made a boatload of them in game one, but that they could have an off night. I thought it might come in game three or four, though, down in Miami, but it does come tonight. 23 made threes. Tyler Hero with six of them. Caleb Martin with five. Highsmith with three. Jovic with three. Jaime Jaquez with three. So balanced scoring attack. And the Celtics didn't make their threes tonight, just 12 of 32. And, you know, yet another disappointing performance for the Celtics as a favorite. And no team really in the NBA seems to have more disappointing performances as big favorites than the Celtics.
I was going to say, put that score graphic up there one more time because I want to highlight the money lines on this game tonight. And that kind of emphasizes how big a favorite the Boston Celtics were. I saw minus 1,400 out there today on the Celtics on the money line. The Heat at 8-1 odds to win straight up, plus 800. And they get it done tonight, like you said, with the barrage of three-pointers. 23 of them. Tyler Hero was the leader tonight for the Miami Heat, and they tie up the series. I'll say this, Wes. I regret not betting this because I was thinking about taking the points today. I said the one handicapping angle I love to look at in basketball is a coaching mismatch. And you had the far superior coach here down a game in the series getting 14.5 points, and I didn't bet it for some reason. Eric Spoelstra, the far superior coach to Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, Eric Spoelstra, by the way, number one vote in that the Athletic puts out that NBA player poll at the end of the season. What coach would you most want to play for? And Eric Spoelstra, number one, and he's been number one the last couple seasons. And there's a reason why, because he seems to know what he's doing and is encouraging of his players, defends his players. And look, he gets a lot out of a little. He does, and it's not like the Heat have nobody, but they don't have, especially without Jimmy Butler, they don't have any superstars on that team, and he figures out a way. You know, they run that zone like they have to, and because they're so shorthanded depth-wise, but he gets a lot out of a little and certainly did tonight.
Well, not only is he a coach that a lot of players want to play for, he's a very smart coach, like you said, and I think a very smart tactician, and that's one thing I believe – going to hold the Boston Celtics back. One of many things, if you talk to some of our friends in the handicapping world, is that they're going to be at a coaching disadvantage in almost every series.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not when they run up against the Milwaukee Bucks, if that happens. But I don't think Joe Mazzulla is the type of coach who can get the Celtics over the top. Can he get them past the Miami Heat in this series? Probably, because the talent gap is big enough that Boston should be able to win the series. Man, the coaching advantage means a lot, Wes. And I don't know, did you play the Heat tonight? Did you take the points?
I did not. I had a couple props that I split on in the game, but did not take the Heat. I thought, you know, because when you saw in the first game, Matt, when they were down 90-59 after three quarters, it's like, man, this team just, they're not going to be able to compete.
Right.
They're going to have to get either lucky shooting the basketball or lucky with the other team missing shots. But made 23 threes tonight, and that's a great equalizer. So the Heat now go back to South Beach for Saturday for game three, all tied at one.
23 threes can also make Eric Spoelstra look like a much smarter coach, right?
Yes.
But Spoelstra deserves all the props he gets, and the Heat tie up that series. And I don't think this is the matchup the Boston Celtics really wanted to see in the playoffs anyway, because of what happened last year.
No, not at all. And look, everybody thought, okay, these guys are going to be out for blood. They were in game number one, but in game number two, not so much as the Miami Heat. And you could kind of tell that the Celtics weren't going to ever be able to pull away from this team, that Miami was going to hang in. Miami led after the first quarter, trailed by three at the half, big third quarter. And then the Celtics just, they couldn't make a comeback, despite the fact that you get 61 combined from Brown and Tatum. You're going to win most games when you get that. But not much from Porzingis, just 6 points tonight. Al Horford just six, Drew Holiday with nine. Not much really from the bench except for a couple of threes from Sam Hauser. And the Celtics end up losing by double digits as double-digit favorites.
Yeah, I don't want to put it all on Joe Mazzulla because you got to get more from Porzingis, Horford, and who was the other guard you mentioned?
Porzingis, Horford, and also Drew Holiday.
Oh, Drew Holiday. Yeah, he's got to play better than that as well. Anyway, it was underdog and over, 111-101. Total was 205.5. We have a game in progress right now in OKC. And the Thunder up on the Pelicans, 70-56, 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. Closing number at DraftKings, OKC laying 7.5, total of 211.
Yeah, I've got over 211 here. I thought the shooting was going to be a lot better, and it certainly has, at least so far tonight. But it's been all thunder, though. Pelicans, look, had a bunch of chances on Sunday to win game one. That game, by the way, had 20 lead changes. That was more than all the other seven series game ones in the NBA playoffs. But no lead changes tonight because it's been all thunder, 72-56 right now. And current in play, 218.5, Thunder minus 15 in the hook. And yeah, much better shooting, really from both teams, but especially the Thunder. Because I think when you had the Pelicans on Sunday, that was their third game in 5 days. They had to stave off elimination just 2 days earlier. And then you had the Thunder as the number one seed where they had the playoff jitters. And I think it very much showed, but got the big defensive stop at the end.
All right, let's talk hockey here for a couple minutes. Got a Golden Knights watch party going on out here at the Stadium Swim at Circa. And last year there were a lot of good parties on the way to the Stanley Cup for the Golden Knights. Right now tied 1-1. 11 minutes ago in the second period, Knights up 1-0 in the series. Dallas, you and I both have the home favorite tonight.
We do. And look, Dallas, I thought, outplayed VGK in the first game, but never led. Vegas Golden Knights led the whole way and ended up hanging on 4-3. Vegas Golden Knights had 15 shots on goal in game number one. Had 11 through two periods, and they were showing a graphic on the broadcast a couple nights ago. That was the least amount of shots they'd had in any game this season through two periods. Every regular season game, all 82 of them, they had more shots on goal than they did. And look, it was the power play that was the difference. Mark Stone had an early power play goal. Hurdle had a power play goal in the first period. They were 2-2 on the power play, and Dallas was 0-2. But in the 5-on-5, if you really look at it for Vegas, they've been getting outscored. I think 6 of the last games they've lost in terms of margin based on the 5-on-5. So Dallas just got to stay out of the penalty box. And Vegas, you know, they can't live on the special teams throughout the entire playoffs.
Yeah, tonight, Vegas got a goal at full strength, and Dallas has a power play goal and retired in the second period in Dallas. This is a top seed in the West, and you can't go down. You don't want to go down 2-0, even though home ice and hockey in the Stanley Cup playoffs doesn't mean as much. The top seed never wants to go down 2-0 in a series.
But the team that a lot of us think is the best team in the West and the biggest threat, they're down 3-1 after the first period, and that's the Edmonton Oilers, who were big favorites tonight. 3-1 already for the LA Kings. Kempe with two goals, Drew Doughty with the goal. So that's what Edmonton does, Matt. They look like the clear best team and then, you know, make some mistakes. They turn it over in their own zone or they take a bad penalty or something like that. So the Oilers, who looked so dominant the other night, winning 7-4, now in a hole after 20 minutes.
All right, we're going to take a quick break again. Coming up on the show tonight, Aaron Moore and Adam Hill. We'll talk NFL draft with those two gentlemen. And after a quick break, we're going to take a look at the NFL draft, where some of the key props close, because you can no longer bet the draft in Nevada. According to state gaming rules, all the props had to be taken off the board this afternoon, 24 hours before the event. More NFL draft talk when we come back here in a couple minutes on VSiN tonight.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, here's your best bet for Thursday night. Check out the VSiN exclusive NFL draft coverage starting at 6 p.m. Eastern with VSiN primetime host Tim Murray and JVT, along with special guests Mike Golic Sr. and Jr. as they dive into the draft prospects and predictions. Stay locked in for a special edition of the GM Shuffle at 8 p.m. Eastern. Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi and Femi Ebebefe bring you real-time analysis of the first-round picks. I know Tim Murray's going to hang around with those guys for a while. I'm going to join in on that show in a final hour tomorrow night, right before Wes and I go on the air. Get Michael Lombardi's thoughts on every draft pick as they happen. Watch a special edition of the GM Shuffle on VSiN, DraftKings Network, or on VSiN's YouTube page. Cap off the night at 11 p.m. Eastern with VSiN Tonight. We wrap up all the first-round action. Find all of your NFL draft betting insights, including our mock drafts, up at vsin.com/draft. Go ahead and check out the website right now. A bunch of great NFL draft coverage in addition to NBA, NHL, golf, tennis. Seems like we got more tennis coverage on that website than I've seen anywhere else in the world. We got to be the world leader in tennis handicapping coverage.
We might be. I think my columns are up there.
Not a week where we're going to highlight golf handicapping.
It is not. It is a down week, as we mentioned on the Long Shots podcast, of course. The team event in New Orleans at the Zurich Classic.
Yeah, I hate this event, but I did place a bet on it, and I placed my bet straight out of a Wes Reynolds recommendation on his column up at VSiN.com.
I'm intrigued who this is going to be.
Well, it was a team that I thought, well, I might give them a shot. And then I read your column, and you tipped this team. I said, okay, now I got to play it, because if I don't and they win, I'm going to be ticked off that I didn't play it. You know, you never want to think about making a bet. You don't make it. Then it wins. Then you're twice as irritated.
It's the FOMO. It's the FOMO.
Well, anyway, we'll talk about that golf handicapping column that Wes has got up on vsin.com, and take a look ahead at those events later in the show. Right now, NFL draft. The quarterback prop closed today, 4.5. How about this? Wow. At DraftKings, the over minus 380. At Circa, the over minus 350. And if you like under 4.5 quarterbacks, and I know the VSiN primetime guys, JVT and Tim Murray, have planted their flag on the under, and it's not looking good. You got to hope the betting market's way off here, because the price on over 4.5 quarterbacks actually opened, Wes. Do you remember when we talked about this with Chuck Esposito at Red Rock about a month ago? He opened 4.5 quarterbacks over. He actually opened the underprice as a favorite at minus 140. The underprice opened minus 140, and this closed over minus 380 on 4.5 quarterbacks in the first round. That's how big a flip you've had in the favorite on that quarterback prop in the NFL draft. And Wes, that's some dramatic movement. And I know that, you know, Chuck's number can move quickly because it doesn't take a lot of money to move his opening number on that prop. But again, that's even from what we saw in the early days at Circa and DraftKings is the over minus 150. For the over to be jacked up to minus 350 to 380 is a big move.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of that is obviously the speculation that we've been seeing over the last few weeks, all the different coverage, all the networks. You know, quarterbacks are going to push the interest, and quarterbacks are going to push the coverage. So we knew that there was clearly going to be four, that it was going to be Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy, in whatever order you think that those four are going to go in. And then there were a couple kind of lurking, you know, maybe late first round, early second round. And all of a sudden, there's been a lot of interest in Michael Penix Jr. And, you know, a week or so ago when we were sitting here, we were thinking, you know what? That might be a good spot for the Raiders at number 33, right there at the top of the second round, or maybe to trade into the first round, perhaps, and get him with the last couple picks and trade up a couple spots. And now there seemingly is, I guess, a little bit of legitimate smoke that maybe the Raiders could go at 13. I don't know if they're going to do that. Maybe they'll try to trade down, you know, in the middle, but at least there's something to it, because we were talking with Chuck Esposito last night about this, and he seemed to think that five was probably going to be the number. I know Michael Lombardi is saying six, but I think five looks like the right number. I think Michael Penix looks like he is going somewhere in that late first round.
It's interesting. Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network, who's he's a former scout, and he's one of the more respected guys. I watch NFL Network around the clock this time of year. He knows what he's talking about with this stuff. He put out his final mock draft today. And I will tell you where he's got the quarterbacks going, but he does have six quarterbacks in the first round. He's got Penix and Nix both going in the first. Just like Michael Lombardi, he's got six. And 4.5 is the number, juiced to minus 380 on the over. And the closing number at Circa today, I believe, I looked at it right before it closed, minus 350. And that's a big move on over 4.5 quarterbacks. That is generally viewed, Wes, as a square bet when you're playing over the quarterbacks in the first round. But in this case, it looks like that's where all the sharp money is.
Yeah, seeming,
that's not just square money on the over 4.5
quarterbacks. No, no, because that wouldn't move it that drastically, I think, from the opener. And look, you know, somebody's got to be first. And, you know, I know stations were the first here, at least in Las Vegas, to go ahead and put that up. But, yeah, it's been all one-way traffic, I think, on that quarterback market.
Talk more about the mock drafts later in the show tonight. And I am looking forward to the NFL draft, our special show here on VSiN on Thursday night. Also, some other draft position props. Let's go ahead and look at that graphic again. Running backs, the total for running backs to go in the first round is a half a running back. I guess that would be a Deuce Vaughn, right? A half a running back?
Very well could be.
Okay.
Darren Sproles size.
Over a half running back is, plus 800. 8-1 odds that a running back goes in the first round. And I don't see any way a running back is going to go in the first round. This doesn't happen. I remember when the Chiefs took Clyde Edwards-Helaire late in the first round. That surprised a lot of people. I don't see any running back capable of going in the first round this time. Wide receivers at 6.5. The over is 3-1 odds. The under minus 400. And I tell you why I wouldn't lay the under price here. There is a chance that seventh wide receiver is going to go off the board late in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of good wide receiver prospects. I did not fool around with that prop at all. How about offensive linemen at 9.5? The over is minus 180. And Wes, when you really break down this draft, I think it's loaded with elite offensive line prospects.
No question about it. And look, every year in the draft, Matt, we always see kind of in that middle of the draft, you know, when it hits the wall after you've had a lot of the flurry of activity and the guys that were expected to go, probably around like 13 through about early 20-something, you always see one position that there's a run on players. Some year it might be corners/safeties. Some year it might be receivers. And this year it looks like it is going to be offensive linemen because we I think we clearly think that it looks like Alt is going to be the first guy, and there's going to be a couple in the top 10 or 11. And then you're going to see a bunch of tackles go in between that like 12 to 22 spot.
Well, I remember the 2020 draft, Wes, where you had Jalen Reagor go number 21, Justin Jefferson go number 22, and boom, you had a big run on wide receivers.
Just because like there's people, the guys behind, you know, if they haven't moved up, they get a little scared. It's like, oh God, we got to get one of these tackles, or we got to get one of these edge rushers. It's just going to happen that tomorrow is going to be a lot of offensive tackles going.
You know, it's curious too, because the defensive line edge rushers, the prop is set at 6.5, and the over is plus 160. You know, all these positions numbers can't go over, obviously. Which position do you think might take a hit? The more I look at it, I think cornerback could take a hit. The cornerback prop is 5.5. The under is minus 4. I think you could see four corners going in the first round.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there, because corner is one of those positions that it's like you can still get good ones early in the second round. And, you know, I think there's a consensus that there's going to be at least about four go.
There's a top two.
Yeah.
There's definitely a top two. You talk about Terrion Arnold from Alabama and Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. But there's probably there's a good chance two more are going to go. I think the cornerback number to go under, of all those props up there, that's one I think is most likely to go under, aside from running back.
Yeah, obviously. Because, look, you got Cooper DeJean, who's probably going to go in the first round, I would think.
You know what's interesting about that? Is his position technically corner, because he also could play safety.
He plays nickel as well. Right. So, you know, he could play a variety of positions. But
I guess it's whatever position you're listed at via NFL.com.
Yes.
Officially?
I think so. And
he's one of those players. He played safety at Iowa, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then obviously he'll be used in the return game, I'm assuming, for an NFL team.
You got Wiggins from Clemson as well.
Yes. And look, this doesn't seem to be other. Dallas Turner and Latu are the top two guys for the edges. This doesn't seem to be like a real deep elite edge draft like we've seen in years past. Right. Like there doesn't seem to be a Will Anderson in this draft like there was last year.
All right. So I said I've got more than 20 draft bets. Many of those are on draft positions. How about you? How many bets you have on this draft?
Zero.
Serious?
Zero. Shocked. Yes.
I'm shocked. When's the last time you made zero bets on something? Quick break on VSiN tonight. Back with more NBA, NHL betting.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you go to vsin.com right now, you can check out all of our NFL draft coverage. Tim Murray has a mock draft 2.0. He did two versions this week, and his best bets are up there as well. You got NBA playoffs bets, best bets and analysis from JVT up there, and a lot of other stuff, including tennis. I've never seen so much tennis coverage as we have here at this network.
We're going to have a bunch of different stuff over the summer. Probably have some WNBA. I'll write an Indy 500 piece. Don't do the IndyCar series every week, but we'll have an Indy 500 piece. So we'll have it all covered at VSiN.com.
All right, Wes Reynolds, let's take a look at the hockey playoffs. We have a goal in Dallas, and it's not by Dallas. Vegas Golden Knights go up 2-1. And as you were saying, the puck luck seems to go the Knights' way.
It does, even though this has been a pretty even game so far. Certainly more even than Monday when the Knights never trailed. But Hanifin with an unassisted goal, 2-1 here, 46 seconds left to go in the second period. Meanwhile, we do have a goal just now up there in Edmonton, an unassisted goal for the Oilers, 3-2. Kings led 3-1 after the first period. Edmonton was a big favorite coming into tonight. Very quiet night for Connor McDavid so far. No goals and no assists, only one shot on goal, but the Oilers trail by one.
All right, how many hockey games did you bet tonight? You said you did not bet the NFL draft. I knew you got plays on hockey tonight.
I did bet the one. Both you and I have the Stars here, and they're going to be trailing after 40 minutes. 2-1 VGK. So did have that hockey play and then have a total pending here in the late game.
about the first game tonight? Boston and Toronto and the Bruins. Small underdogs on the road tonight, but they get the win 4-2, and it lands right on the total of 6.
Yeah, and Brad Marchand with 2 goals, including the empty netter at the end, to push that over the total if you had 5.5 tonight. So tough beat if you certainly had that. This was a defensive game, but you know, Leafs got on the penalty kill, and that's where they're not good. They're one of the worst penalty kills in the league. DeBrusk had an early power play goal in the third period, and Boston 2-1, and Leafs fans start to grip yet again. It has been since 1967 since they had won a Stanley Cup. They finally got that series win last year, only to be knocked out by Florida. But the Bruins to the Leafs have been like what the Patriots were to the Colts in the early 2000s, and then the Colts finally did slay the Dragon in that AFC Championship game. Leafs have yet to do that to the Bruins, though, in the playoffs.
All right, a brief timeout on the hockey talk. So you brought up a memory. When the Colts finally slayed the Dragon and beat the Patriots, they had to come from behind. What, were they down 21 points in that AFC Championship
game? Yes, yes. And you remember the game, the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. I was right there in Indianapolis, in the house for it, when Dominic Rhodes fumbled the ball at the goal line, uh-huh. And the former voice of the Colts goes, fumbled the freaking football as he goes down. No, they say the Colts got it Saturday. And Ted Marchabrota was the color guy. He goes, Saturday. You know, just like the one word, got it, and recovered the fumble in the end zone, and that turned the momentum of that game. And then Tom Brady throws the interception on the final drive to his Michigan teammate, Marlon Jackson. And the Colts go to the Super Bowl, and that was all she wrote.
Colts went to the Super Bowl, and they beat the Bears that year, right?
Yes.
So they beat the Bears, but they kicked Devin Hester to open that Super Bowl.
Yes, they did.
They talked for a week and a half about not kicking the Devin Hester because he had somewhere around 5 kick returns for touchdowns that season. So what did the Colts do? They opened the Super Bowl by kicking the ball right to Devin Hester, and he runs back 92 yards for a touchdown.
Yours truly might have said, Blankin' Dungy.
Yep. What
when doing? That happened.
He talked for 10 days about not kicking to this guy.
And then he kind of got a little ego, hey, you know, if we have it covered, we're going to kick it to him. And they did, and it was 7-0 from the get-go in Miami.
7-0, right? And here's another thing a lot of people tend to forget. This is the one Super Bowl that Peyton Manning did win. On the Colts' first offensive series, Manning threw a pick on 3rd and 12, and the Bears had the ball and up 7 just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Kickoff return for a touchdown, Peyton Manning pick. But before you knew it, the Colts actually had flipped the game on the Bears by the second quarter.
Yes.
That was a poor start to that Super Bowl for your Colts.
It was. Yeah. And then Peyton Reggie for that 53-yard touchdown pass and missed extra point. And it's like, oh, God, here we go again. And then it was all Colts after they trailed 14-6.
You know, in that season, Peyton Manning had thrown a total of 9 interceptions the entire regular season, and he threw 7 in that playoffs.
He did.
He was. That's one thing about Manning. He was not a great postseason quarterback.
Well, and look, he did get the MVP as kind of like maybe a lifetime achievement award that year when it really should have been Dominic Rhodes.
Exactly.
Yeah, because the Colts running game, I think, is really what put that away, and the fact that they had a dual threat running game really helped them out.
All right, I'd much rather talk NFL than hockey playoffs, but let's get back to the NBA. And Wes, we got a big upset tonight. We talked about it. We'll talk about it a little bit more in hour number 2. Because the Boston Celtics go down 111-101. Celtics close 14.5-point favorites at DraftKings, and almost minus 1,400 on the money line. Inexcusable loss tonight for the Celtics. And they get shot down by 23 threes by the Heat. Wes, let's update what's happening right now in OKC.
Yeah, Thunder 92-76 here, just starting the fourth quarter. OKC minus 15.5, I believe 217.5 is the in-play total. But much better performance from the Thunder. They got their jitters out from game one. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 28. About Chet Holmgren with 24 tonight. He has been big, especially from the three-point line. He's hit 3 threes. So 28 and 24 for SGA and Chet. And everybody kind of contributing a little bit. Dort with 12, Jalen Williams with 12. Meanwhile, the Pelicans, they got to find some outside shooting, and they got to find it in a hurry. Not horrible, but 7-19 from the three. When you know you're down Zion, C.J. McCollum and Brandon Ingram have got to bring it tonight. And so far, just kind of mediocre games from those two.
All right, quick look at the Thursday playoff action in the association. And, Wes, what a meltdown by the Sixers at the end of Game 2 in New York. Would you bet on Philly to bounce back here and get on the board in this series after blowing Game 2? Philadelphia, 4.5-point favorite against New York on Thursday night.
I want to, Matt, but you are already paying the tax, and especially – you know, and we'll beat this point to death here because it needs to be, because it's not the same as it used to be. When you have that team go down 2-0 and they go back home, that first quarter and that first half, that used to be money. That used to be printing money for bettors, and now it's priced in, and you're not going to be able to get away with that necessarily anymore, because that's the angle I really want to go here, but it's 4.5 in the market. Two with juice here for just the first quarter, and then the first half, I believe, tomorrow. I'm even seeing a 4 at a notable faraway store. 3.5 pretty much in the market. That's a big tax. You know, you're laying 4.5. You should be laying like 2 in the first half, and that matters. And that's priced into the money line, too, and they jack that up here. But, look, the Sixers, I'm going to lose that Eastern Conference bet probably because they're not going to win this series. Just because I think Embiid's given it what he has, but he's just not 100%.
He's not even close to 100%.
Yeah, he's gotten it out. But, you know, the Knicks, I give them credit. They've got a lot more depth than maybe we thought. And I think a lot of it, too, was the fact that they had so many injuries. So you had to play all these guys. Mm-hmm. You know, Josh Hart, by the way, did not come out of the game in Game 2. 48 minutes.
Amazing.
48 minutes. Them Villanova guys carrying the New York Knicks right now. Brunson, DiVincenzo, and Josh Hart, and then they get Mitchell Robinson back late in the season. They have him, and they have Hartenstein. And one of the things that's good for the Knicks, though, is they don't have to double Embiid. And Embiid really, you know, not doing a ton of rebounding or a lot of the stuff that he can do. He's shooting a lot of jump shots because he has to. But they can check Hartenstein on Embiid one-on-one, or they can do that with Mitchell Robinson as well. They don't have to double and cheat the weak side four-man over to try to double him, and I think that that's been really beneficial to the Knicks. I do think Philadelphia probably gets this game, but I'm a little bit priced out here.
What's more difficult? What's tougher to do? Josh Hart playing 48 minutes in an NBA game like that, a playoff game, or Zach Edey at Purdue, 7'4", 300-pounder, who was playing 39 and 40 minutes in back-to-back games in the Elite Eight and Final Four.
Right, yeah. It's both, but... You know, we know Tom Thibodeau, who, by the way, I think got voted the least coach you least want to play for in that athletic poll because he rides these guys, man. He was like Dusty Baker with Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor burning those arms out, man. That's what he does, though. Even though the Knicks have a little bit of depth off the bench, but that's what Tibbs did in Chicago. Remember with Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah and Taj Gibson and all those guys.
You made a good point there. It's the spot where you want to play the Sixers, but there's definitely a tax built into that number. You're going to have to lay a little bit more than you normally would if you want to play the Philadelphia side in Game 3 in that series with the Knicks up 2-0. All right, we'll talk baseball betting. The Yankees beat the A's. Aaron Judge snaps his slump when we come back.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA from the play-in tournament through the finals. DK has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets. Code VSIN, only on DraftKings. All right, Wes, 103-80. OKC cruising against the New Orleans Pelicans. 23-point lead with 8 minutes to go. How about the Lakers blowing a 20-point lead to the Nuggets and going down 2-0 in that series? Are the Lakers a team you can count on to bounce back in Game 3 in a pick'em spot against the Nuggets?
I think that they're probably right here, and they have now moved to a favorite. I think there's still a couple pick'ems out there.
DraftKings has got Nuggets minus one, and I see pick'em at Circa, Westgate, South Point, Caesars. Who's got the Lakers favored right now?
There is a couple far away stores do. I don't know if there's anybody in Vegas, but Chris, I believe, has them. A couple others as well. But, yeah, look, the Lakers, I thought that they played. I know that they only scored like 40, a little over 40 points in the second half, and I know AD was kind of a no-show in the final few minutes, but really the Lakers played about as well as they could play. They got offensive output from LeBron and AD.
Did not shoot well, though.
And D'Lo. D'Lo did hit, I think, what, six threes?
He showed up. He shot the ball much better.
Yeah, absolutely. And you think if he's the X factor, if he does that, that they're going to win the game. But the Nuggets are the champions for a reason. And Jamal Murray, you kind of had, you know, a really nondescript game. You know, scores, I believe the final 7 points for the Nuggets, hit a couple at the line, hit a three, and then, of course, hit the buzzer beater and gets the win. So I think the Lakers are going to take one of the two back in Los Angeles, you know, whether it's this one or the next one. I actually thought they played pretty solid in the first game, you know, for not getting the cover.
Sure.
I thought they really did. They probably deserved a better fade because they played great for three quarters. And then just had nothing left and ran out of gas.
I agree with you. I think the Lakers are worst. You know, probably this would be a 1-1 series going to L.A. But at the same time, I don't trust the Lakers in game three because they're not the better team.
No. No, they're not. And look, can you count on D'Lo to have another big game like that? And
well, here's another thing, Wes. When you watch these teams play, Jokic is so much better than Davis.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a big difference in the two teams.
Yeah, it's a major difference. Who's going to produce?
Spot says bet Lakers, right?
Yes. Yeah. Like who's going to produce off the Lakers bench too? You know, and that's what you're going to need to find out. But I still believe that LeBron, even late in his career, still has that one like kill mode game, and maybe it's tomorrow night.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I'm leaning Lakers. I kind of want to play the Lakers here. I'm going to hate myself if I bet the Lakers and they lose. But it feels like the spot where you have to play them. All right, let's get to baseball betting here for a couple minutes. I watched the A's-Yankees game today, and the A's probably deserved a better fate. Joe Boyle was a starting pitcher. He's got some pretty good stuff. He's a young pitcher, a hard thrower.
He throws. He walks a lot of guys.
He does. He throws in the high 90s, a little bit wild with his control. But in the first inning today, he struck out the leadoff batter. And then I think he issued a walk to Juan Soto. He struck out Volpe, walked Soto, and then he struck out Aaron Judge. But wait, he didn't strike out Aaron Judge because on strike three, the third base ump actually called a balk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you look at the replay, it probably was a balk. He didn't really pause. He didn't really get set before he delivered the pitch. Yeah, it's a gray area. Next pitch, Aaron Judge goes deep. Home mm-hmm. run to right field, 2-0 Yankees, just like that. And Aaron Judge, in his previous eight games before that home run today in the first inning, had 0 homers and 16 strikeouts over that eight-game span. 2-run homer in the first inning today gets the Yankees on the board, and they go on to roll 7-3 over the A's. And the Yankees stay close minus 250. At DraftKings, total of 8.5 goes over at Yankee Stadium. It felt a little bit bad for Boyle because he deserved better fate there in the first inning. Instead of striking out Judge, he gets called for the balk and then gives up the 2-run homer on the next pitch.
Yep. Yeah.
Kind of sets the tone for the game.
And meanwhile, also in the AL East, this was one of the few day games today. Joe Adell gets caught stealing in the bottom of the ninth. And
he did not get caught stealing.
Yeah, because he was safe, but they called him out. And that's what led the Angels to defeat 6-5. Orioles hang on for the win.
Orioles close minus 130 at DraftKings. They win by one. Total was 9.5. It goes over. That was Kramer against Anderson. And it was Joe Adell getting caught stealing at second that ended the game. This infuriates me about baseball, Wes. We were talking about the replay situation in the NBA. We'll get into that a little bit more later. So you have a caught stealing situation at second base that ends the game today. See the replay from various different angles.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear as day that Joe Adell's foot hits the bag before he gets tagged, and he's safe. They come back down after a 5-minute review and say, runner's out, game's over. How is that possible?
I don't know. And especially a play like that, that's a deciding of the game. Whereas in basketball, we review like every little thing. We're reviewing all these fouls are getting challenged. Now in the NBA playoffs, I've seen more of those in the last couple of days than I care to see.
I agree with LeBron James' opinion when he's talking about the reviews and the fouls getting overturned. What are we doing? This is stupid. That's what he said the other night. And I agree with him on that.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes human error is a part of the game. And we get mad as fans and we get mad as bettors, but that's the way it is. Sometimes a guy misses a travel, or sometimes a guy, misses up the block charge call. It's going to happen. There's no foolproof way to rectify it.
Sometimes you need to take out your frustrations on somebody anyway, and that's why the umps are out there. You have to have somebody to yell.
Exactly.
No, but seriously, in baseball, in this situation, how is it in MLB, we see this over and over too. It's not like an outlier, that you watch the replay and it's clear he's safe and they come back down and say he's out.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I guess they don't want to admit their mistakes, but that's why you have the replay system in the first place.
All right, the Red Sox today were dogs on the road in Cleveland, and it was all Red Sox. Guardians closed minus 130 at DraftKings. Total was 8. Final score, Red Sox 8-0. So you had Orioles, Red Sox, Yankees, all winners. Tampa Bay Rays, home dogs today to Detroit. Tigers went off minus 118 at DraftKings. Rays won that game 7-5. Kansas City, a home dog to Toronto. Blue Jays went off minus 135. And the Royals won that game in KC 3-2. How about the White Sox? They dropped to 3-21. I saw a handicapper last night put out the White Sox as one of his recommended plays on the Wednesday card. Said either have to have a lot of courage or an abundance of stupidity to be putting out White Sox plays in public.
Might have been both.
Are you trying to be a hero? What are you trying to do?
Billy, don't be a hero. Don't be a fool with your life.
I know the White Sox blew the game the day before, but don't be. This is not a get rich quick strategy trying to bet the White Sox at plus prices every day.
3-21.
3-21. Minnesota minus 205, closing number 6-3. Twins get the win. Texas 5-1 over Seattle, and Rangers close minus 148.
By the way, the White Sox 3-21, not the worst record through 25 games in Major League Baseball history. That's the 88 Orioles, who were 2-23. But yeah, we're going to be talking about this White Sox team like we talked about the A's last year. I think going forward,
very similar to the A's start a year ago. You know who else is off to a poor start? Hasn't been talked about much. We did talk a little bit about it before I went on vacation last week, the Houston Astros.
Yes.
Just can't get back on track again today. Jameson Taillon and the Cubs. Small dogs at Wrigley. Cubs were plus 105. Total was 7.5. Cubs get the win 4-3 over the Astros.
They're not hitting at all. Now, they did get Verlander back. He's going to make his second start tomorrow up there in Wrigley day game. And they're going to get Valdez back, and they're going to get your Urquidy back, so that's going to help for the rotation. But this team's not hitting a lick right now.
All right, more baseball betting to talk. Dodgers get the win today on the road, minus 180 at Washington, 8-2 over the total at 9.5. We'll do more baseball in the second and third hours. Plenty more NFL draft coverage coming up as well. Wes, quick updates on the hockey and NBA games before we go to break.
Yeah, OKC 117-86, so Thunder going to go to New Orleans up 2-0 in the series. And then also in the hockey playoffs, 3-3 near the end of the second period between LA and Edmonton. Just into the third, VGK 2-1 in Dallas, looking to go up 2-0, returning to T-Mobile.
All right, a look at the NFL draft and the NBA playoffs when we come back for hour number two on VSiN Tonight, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.